Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let Larry now for this week's lesson.
Well, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. I hope your holiday is a great one, whether it be a large gathering or a small gathering. I hope you enjoy your special day that has been proclaimed, I think, going all the way back to Abraham Lincoln, if I recall, the holiday of Thanksgiving in our country. You know, largely led by the retailers in America, Thanksgiving is pretty well mowed down by Christmas and has been reduced pretty much to food, football, and Friday. Black Friday. Do they still do that? I think they do. Normally, intelligent people who set their alarm for 3 a.m. to get to Walmart. That is a 24-hour store, you know. Well, anyway, my point is we've pretty well lost the idea of Thanksgiving. And in the process, have lost the concept and the power of Thanksgiving. Do you realize the power of Thanksgiving, or the power of thankfulness? That's a better way to put it. And that leads me to maybe my most favorite passage in the Scripture, Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. If you don't know this passage, you need to highlight it in your Bible and just make it a part of your life, because it will enrich your life like no other passage that we have. Here's what Paul wrote. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Oh, by the way, he's probably in prison when he wrote this. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, do you understand verse 6? I mean, did that jump out at you? Did you hear what Paul said? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Paul says there is an answer to anxiety and worry. How many of you get anxious? Would you dare raise your hand this morning? How many of you worry? Well, I think It's got us all. Paul says thankfulness is God's answer to anxiety and worry. Now, how could that be? Well, what is anxiety and worry? Well, it is forgetting the faithfulness of God. I want to let that sort of soak in a little bit. Worry and anxiety is forgetting the faithfulness of God. Here you are today, and think of all the ways God has delivered you in your lifetime. Think of all the crises. Think of all the worries that you have had in your life. Oh, you ponder and you stew and you are in a stir about something. Oh, this deadline is coming, or this decision is going to be announced, or something, or I have this doctor's appointment, or I have this or that, and we prayed. We ask others to pray. But here we are. Most, if not all, those things we can't even remember. You'd be hard-pressed to tell me, whatever age you are, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, of all of those things in your lifetime of which God has delivered you, or from which God has delivered you. Thankfulness is forgetting God's faithfulness. And Paul said, as he possibly wrote from the darkened cell of a prison, thankfulness is the answer to it. You'll be delivered from it. Substance-free, chemical-free, you'll be delivered from it if you take seriously thankfulness. Oh, now we do thank God formally. If someone is asked to lead prayer from this pulpit, well, they'll thank God. We do that. We'll thank God before our Thanksgiving meal. And many of you have a practice of saying a prayer before a meal, even in a crowded, loud restaurant. I've often wondered about that, why we are so insistent to do that. And yet, we don't offer thanks at Walmart or Dillard's when we buy our jacket or our slacks. We don't thank the Lord for our gasoline when we fill it up. It's not formality that God wants. It's a genuine heart of thankfulness that God wants, however it's expressed. We thank God generally. You'll hear it. Thank you, Lord, for our blessings, whatever that means. I've struggled with that all my conscious life. Now, what's a blessing? What do we mean by that? Well, we're not sure, but thank you anyway. When prayers become rote, it means we've given little thought to them. Oh, I understand rote prayers. Especially someone who is called upon to lead prayer in public, you sort of fall back on what you are familiar with because you're nervous. I understand that. But a rote prayer, whether it's public or private, means we've given very little thought to it. We just sort of automatically let it go. Maybe we need to find new ways to express thanks to God. I read about a church that had, maybe in their equivalent of a family life center or someplace, a parade of Thanksgiving, sort of a Macy's Day parade, where they made little floats and banners and kids and balloons and signs, and they just expressed some significant, specific thing in each family or individual's life for which they were thankful. Thankfulness on parade. Well, that's kind of a neat idea. It'd be a new expression, wouldn't it? Well, it's a thought. But maybe we need to just sort of go back to the old ways of thanking God. What would be some of those ways? Well, I think about in 1 Samuel 4 through 7, because the Ark of the Covenant had been rescued and brought back to Israel, Samuel built an Ebenezer. Well, what in the world is an Ebenezer? You've sung that. There's one of our songs. We raise our Ebenezer. Craziest thing I've ever heard. What does it mean? Well, it means a stone of help. It's just a memorial of some kind. Right here, we are remembering God's deliverance in some way. That's an Ebenezer. Well, I don't know if that'd be so bad even now. I think God is more concerned that we raise an Ebenezer in our heart as we thank Him specifically for His help, His deliverance. Well, that's an old way, but it might be a good way. Maybe we need to give thanks like the Jews did. Andy started our service today with a responsive reading from several of the Psalms. And as he opened it, I would like to close our service with a reading of the great Hallel, Psalms 136. We're going to read it all. I would like for you, if you would, to respond as you see it on the screen. His love endures forever. I will read the reason, and if you would respond, His love endures forever. And as we go through here, you will see that many of the references are not so relevant to us. That is, we have no Egypt. There is no Red Sea in our life. There is no desert. Or wait a minute. Maybe there is. You think of your Egypt. You think of your Red Sea that needs to be crossed. You think of your desert. And if you are able, if you are not, we understand. You just remain seated. But if you are able, would you stand as we read together the great Hallel, Psalms 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders, who by His understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To Him who led His people through the desert, who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, an inheritance to his servant Israel. To the one who remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies, and who gives food to every creature, give thanks to the God of heaven. Let's pray. Dear Father, please accept our thanks. Our thanks that we offer you every day of our lives. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your uniqueness. There is no God like you. We thank you for your miracles. We thank you for your creative works that we see all around us. And we thank you for your relationship with your people, the new Israel, the church of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen.